There was a little boy at my church when I was a teenager. His name was Sio, and he was 6 years old, and he always had a lot to say. And he always had a lot to say because he was always thinking. One time when he was in the sanctuary, he asked if he might be able to go up and preach a sermon from the pulpit. Those of us in the room got ready. The pastor in the space was quick to say, "Yes, go ahead, Sio. You can go up to the pulpit." And so Sio did, while everybody else settled in the pews, knowing that it was going to be a while. So Sio got into the pulpit. He stepped on a stool, adjusted the microphone just right, got real tall, looked out, and he said, "God loves you. Pay attention." And after a moment of silence, then he came out of the pulpit, and he went and he sat down in the pews. It was a brief sermon. It was short. We were all surprised. But boy, Sio had a lot to say that day. God loves you. Pay attention. It's been a privilege and an honor to work with Colee and Ashley and with the children of our church to get ready for today. They, the children, are just like Sio, theologians. They are people who think deeply about God and the stories of God and God's people. They read the story carefully. They listen to one another's wonderings carefully. You all pay attention to how the story invites you to follow Jesus. You do that carefully. And we will listen to you, kids, and we'll keep listening to you, and we'll do our best to do it carefully. Together, the children explored today's gospel reading, the Transfiguration, using the African Bible study method. It's a method that is rooted in the ancient method of praying the scriptures called Lectio Divina, holy reading. We read the story, and then we wondered a little bit. And then we read the story again, a different version, and we wondered some more. And then we heard the story one more time. And can you guess it? We wondered together. Our final reading of the story was told by another theologian, Barbara Brown Taylor. She's quite a famous preacher and happens to be a good friend of Pastor Paul's. I'd like to share her telling of the Transfiguration story with you now, as the children heard it too in preparation for today. It starts with a long climb up a windy mountain in the fading light of day, hunting for a strong place to pray. No talking for once. No walls of words between you and the others. Just breathing for once. Just hearing them breathe. Until you can't tell whether you're breathing or being breathed. You sit down, you are here to pray, so you get on with it. You pray until you are weighed down with sleep. Pray until it is dark enough to see light through your eyelids where light should not be. You don't really want to open your eyes to see where that light is coming from, but you kind of do, but you kind of don't. And then you look, and there he is. Someone you thought you knew really well is standing there, pulsing with light, leaking light everywhere. Face like a flame, clothes dazzling white. Then, as if that wasn't quite enough, there are two other people there with him. all standing in that same bright light. Moses, Elijah, dead men come back to life. God's own glory is lighting up the night. And now they're leaving. And now Peter's saying something. Tents, he's saying. We need tents. He thinks we're on Mount Sinai. Now there's a cloud. It's coming in fast. That, it's way more than weather. A terrifying cloud that is also alive. It's cutting Peter off, covering everything up, smells like lightning strike. Can't see a thing. Then a voice from the cloud lifts the hairs on the back of your neck. What's God saying? Not listen to me, but listen to him. The Son, the Beloved. But listen to what? Jesus isn't saying anything. He's shining. Or at least he was. Now he's not. Now it's over. Now what? As the kids heard that story and then wondered, it sounded a bit like this. Why on a mountain? How did Jesus get his friends to go with him? What did he have to say to them? What would he have to say to us? I need you? I wonder what they were expecting to have happen up there. Sounds like Jesus' face was the sun. That's hard to picture. Tents? Shelters? What's that all about? Is that like how we take selfies now when something important happens? Wait, God is a cloud? What did God's voice sound like? Was it loud? Was it bossy sounding? Was it tender? Invitational? This is confusing. It's really weird, right? The Spirit was present while these questions were being asked, while the wonderings led to a lot of laughter, and while we embraced the confusion. Richard Rohr, another theologian, speaks to the value in reading and struggling with the stories in the Bible. He puts it this way: the Bible and all spiritual books have a primary focus outside of themselves. Sacred texts are not an end in themselves. They must insert you into new and larger realities through a necessary struggle with your present level of consciousness. Religious texts are meant to invite you into a helpful struggle, and in a certain way, they actually create a conflict or a dissonance for you. If you resolve that tension too quickly by glib belief, you actually learn nothing new and go to no new place. Rohr argues that in order for Scripture to have a transformative effect on us, we must wrestle with its often inherent unreasonableness, its contradictions, its dilemmas, and tensions. And as Will Spotts, one of our church school teachers, said, if you're confused, it means you're paying attention. So this is what we did. We created space and time to wrestle with the story of transformation, allowing God to use it to transform us. We wrapped up our exploration with Taylor's retelling of the story, where she left us with that question, now what? And one child said, now what? Well, now we try to do what's good for God, and what's good for others, and what's good for ourselves. And another child chimed in, and we listened to Jesus. God loves you. Pay attention. The children, you all know that you are part of this story. It was evident by the way you responded to that question, now what? You see yourselves as actors in the story. The story that begins with nothing but God and God's creative love. That journeys through slavery into a freedom story with Moses. A story with Elijah of those on the margin who are faithful and their oil never runs out. The story of a child theologian, Jesus, who preaches of a kingdom that is in direct contradiction. It's the opposite of what the people with money and power said mattered. It's the greatest love story of a God who wants to be in relationship with you, with us. This story, God's story, continues to be written as you, the kids, the teenagers, the grown-ups, as we all receive God's love and as we pay attention, listening to Jesus. And when we listen with our ears and when we listen with our hearts, we too will be transformed.